I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life.
You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 451. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. One of my favorite Bible interaction tool exercises, I call these bites for short, is to remember that the people I'm reading about in the Bible were real. They're not characters in a fiction novel. They're not props so God can make a point. They were real people with hopes and fears, loves and losses, dreams and drama. And when songwriters write their songs as if one of those people were singing the song, it brings them to life in new ways. So Katie Nicole's Christmas song, Oh, What a King, it's about Jesus, but it's sung as if it were sung by Mary, his mother. This perspective shift will change how you read the details of Scripture this week. But before we get into that, let's listen. Oh, what a King, Emmanuel, God with us. The world will call you Jesus. I will call you Son. Oh, what a King, heaven bows before you. Your mother, she adores you. Long awaited one, oh, what a King. I played the chorus of the song because I always want us to take the bite of starting with God. And the chorus puts the emphasis on Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, our long-awaited King. But Mary's singing this song. And Mary's song is important in light of her role in the grand story of God as the earthly mother of a divine Savior. Because after all, the Bible is about Him first. But what I did this week was really meditate on the details I know about Mary. I focused in on the song of praise she sings when she visits Elizabeth. I chased a few cross-reference rabbits to spend time in other places in Scripture, and I even allowed myself to appreciate the art of the song and still recognize where I may argue with the lyricist a little bit. So let's get started by reading the first stanza of the song so that you can see that Katie Nicole's song is written from the perspective of Mary. It starts out by saying, "Who am I that you would choose me? Just a lowly girl from a simple family. Who am I that angels speak my name, called to be the mother of the one who comes to save?" The perspective, Mary's perspective, sent me on a quest through scriptures that we've been meditating on for the last few weeks. Chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And I reread them, seeking out Mary's perspective in the text, and you can do the same thing. Have you ever played the emphasis game where you take a sentence and read it emphasizing a different word? Like take the phrase, "It's not about you," for example. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. Or it's not about you. All of these phrases change your perspective, sometimes even the meaning, as you emphasize each word. And I say this because I know you might be saying, "I've read the accounts of Christmas before. Shouldn't I spend some time in an area of Scripture I'm less familiar with?" Goodness, Michelle, you've had us read and reread this over the last few weeks. But I'm saying to use this Christmas season as an excuse to read it again and see if God might have something new to reveal to you. And when you reread these areas of Scripture, emphasizing Mary's perspective, you may see something you've never seen before. So back to our song. Who am I that you would choose me, just a lowly girl from a simple family? Who am I that angels speak my name, called to be the mother of the one who comes to save? Well, I think these are great questions that we see Mary asking. They're not really verbatim from scripture, but I absolutely think that she probably asked them in some form or another. Who am I that you would choose me? You know, every believer can ask that same question. Who am I, Lord, that you would choose me? Who am I that you would save me? Who am I that you would adopt me? Who am I that you would give your life for me? And I think of the lyrics of the song written by the psalmist in chapter 8 of Psalm. Psalm 8:4 says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" The answer to who am I that you would choose me has nothing to do with us, because the answer is Jesus, our King. And oh, what a King he is. And just like our chorus, the appropriate response is to praise. So the song goes on to sing about Mary being a lowly girl from a simple family, angels speaking her name, and being called the mother of the one who comes to save. And all of these ideas come straight from scripture. Now, Luke's account gives us most details in this area. So let's head over to Luke chapter 1. And starting in verse 26, we read this. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" So here we have the angel speaking her name, just like our song said. And let's think about this for a minute. Scripture at this point hasn't established that Mary is lowly or poor yet, but it doesn't matter as a person. As a person, an angel of the Lord appearing to you and speaking your name is a big deal. You know, in the section just above this section of scripture, when Gabriel, same angel, appears to Zechariah, it was a big deal to him too, and he was a priest. But before Zechariah is a priest and before Mary is a poor girl, they are both people. So it makes sense that the question, "Who am I that angels speak my name?" is asked. And while it doesn't matter that Mary is poor to have a human response to angels speaking her name, it does matter that she is poor to understand what God is doing here. So let's just keep reading. Verse 34, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." As we keep listening to the song, we see details from both Matthew and Luke sort of all mashed together. And that's the beauty of art, don't you think? Music is art, and it's not a linear retelling of the story. It's bits and pieces woven together in a new way to bring forth a new perspective. But at this point in the linear story, the angel has spoken Mary's name and told her about her cousin who is also pregnant. And Mary's response is important here. She says, "Let it be to me according to your word." So let's take a bite of making a list here. What are some of Mary's responses so far? Well, I wrote on my list, greatly troubled, trying to discern what was going on. You see, Mary was just trying to make sense of it all. Fearful. I don't think the angel would have told her not to be afraid if she wasn't. Confused about the process, but ultimately submissive. She said, "Let it be to me according to your word." She even calling herself a servant, meaning she was working in the service of another. It was my life is not my own moment for Mary. And as we keep reading in Luke, we see Mary rush off to live with Elizabeth for a few months. She gets a wonderful confirmation of everything when Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, she exclaims with a loud cry in verse 42, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Did you see it there? Another "who am I" question, this time coming from Elizabeth. When God is using us to tell his story, our appropriate response should be, "Who am I that you would use me, Lord?" And the answer lies in his character and in his ways, something we learn more about by meditating on Mary's song of praise in the coming verses. So we keep reading in verse 46, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Now, one of the bites I took this week was to consult an overview of the scripture. And most often when I read an overview, it's of the entire book, or like an introduction in the beginning of my study Bible, or watch a Bible Project video of an entire book. But this week I discovered the Bible Project video of discovering Luke chapters 1 and 2. So I'll go ahead and link to that in the show notes, found at michellenezat.com/451. But what the video so dramatically pointed out was that God was sending Jesus to turn the world upside down. And that's why it's important that Mary was poor or of humble estate, because it was a very upside down thing for God to choose her to bring the King of Kings to earth. And just in Mary's song, we see God bringing down thrones and exalting the humble and filling the hungry and sending the rich away empty. These are all very upside down kingdom things. In the kingdoms of the world, the rich get richer, the proud get celebrated, the poor continue to get oppressed. It's true in our time, and it was true in Mary's time as well. But Mary's song also has so many parallels to another song in scripture found in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And the song of Hannah has many of the same themes. And so I took a bite of following the cross-reference to that song, and then I spent some time taking in the bite of comparing and contrasting the two songs this week as well. So Mary's song, for example, starts like this, Luke chapter 1, verse 46, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. But Hannah's song starts similarly. She said, my heart exults in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth derides my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. And in Mary's song, she says, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And in Hannah's song, she says, those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. And so in Mary's song, she sings, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. And in Hannah's song, she sings, the Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world." And while there really are parallels, there's more, but these are just so significant. Mary is not quoting Hannah's song word for word. John Piper says it this way, "Indeed, it seems to me that Mary is so steeped in scripture that when she breaks out in praise, the words that come naturally to her lips are the words of scripture." That is my prayer for myself and for you. May we be so steeped in Scripture that our thoughts and words overflow with the very words and thoughts of Scripture. Oh, what a king indeed. Mary's song reflects our song this week in that it celebrates the king and his upside down kingdom. And as we wrap up today, I want to give you my thoughts about where I may argue with the lyricist on this song a little. One example is in the second stanza. The song says, "Born into a world of suffering, they don't know the gift I know you're going to be." Now, when the song says they don't know the gift I know you're going to be, I agree and I disagree with this. I don't think Mary had any idea of the gift her son would truly be. Yes, at this point, she knows he's the Son of God. Yes, he was Emmanuel, God with us. But as you continue to read on further in Scripture, it seems like if she knew it at that at some point, she forgets. Or like all the other disciples, that she just doesn't really know the gift he's going to be. And that's why I say I agree and I disagree. I agree that there was probably a stage in Mary's life where she thought she understood what a gift Christ was to the world. But then there were seasons of confusion and frustration, you know, like when she was dismayed that Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. Young Jesus didn't feel like a gift in that moment. He brought great distress to her. He was missing for 3 days. Or the time when he told her no at the wedding at Cana. I mean, he eventually performed the miracle, but there was obviously some conflict there between Mary and Jesus about the timing of his ministry. Or the time when she and Jesus' siblings came to see him and his disciples acted like gatekeepers. And then Jesus turns it into a teaching moment to say his spiritual family was as much his family as his biological family. So I guess I'm just saying that while Mary, of course, she could be singing this song, especially at a time where she was sitting in the truth of who he was. But I think that there were times that she actually kind of forgot or on some level just didn't truly know. Now consider the phrase in our song, "I wish I could protect you from the pain, but something's telling me that's the reason you came." So every mom everywhere could sing this wish to protect our precious children from pain. I just wonder if Mary would forget along the way that that's the reason he came. Again, I'm not picking apart the song. I'm really not. I really love this song, and it reminds me of the fact that I can know truths and then forget them. A very human aspect of Mary that I can relate to. And that is why it is important to be steeped in Scripture. You want God's truth overflowing into the drama of your life. You don't want to get swept away by the current of culture. I need to be reminded that his kingdom is an upside down one and has been since the beginning. The things humanity treasures, God scoffs at. But Mary was woven into the fabric of God's story, even in God's story in our lives. And Mary rejoiced in God, her Savior. This song can help us do the same. So what's next? Well, read Matthew 1 and 2 again. Read Luke 1 and 2 again. This time, read with the emphasis on Mary, what she said and did, and what she may have been thinking. Follow the cross-reference to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and compare and contrast Mary's song with Hannah's song, and then turn up the volume and sing along with Katie Nicole as we magnify the Son of God. Oh, what a king. While you're in God's Word this week, let me know how you're doing. Email me, michelle@michellenezat.com. You can hop on Twitter or Instagram @michellenezat. I'm also on Facebook. Michelle L. Nezat is my public page. More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network. Check out other podcasts in the network and Christian music resources at newreleasetoday.com. And then I would be honored if you followed the podcast wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. But if you sign up on my website at michellenezat.com, then I'm able to email you once a week with the show notes, with all the scriptures I use and links to resources I use in my personal study. And my featured free resource for new email subscribers this week is an archive of my interactive worksheets that I've created for various podcasts over the years. You can find them all in one place in the archive I've created, and you'll gain exclusive access to that archive when you subscribe to my email list at michellenezat.com. With that in mind, I want to thank my newest subscribers who have subscribed lately, like Callie from Minnesota, Grace from Louisiana, Sue from Australia, and Penny from North Dakota. welcome. Now, don't forget, you can listen to the podcast directly on my website at michellenezat.com, through iTunes, the Apple Podcast app. You can follow on Spotify or through Stitcher Radio or your podcast listening app of choice. And if you haven't left a review yet, you can do that today by heading over to lovethepodcast.com/morethanasong. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next week, I will be featuring The Wait Is Over by Jordan St. Cyr to dive into scripture. If you liked this episode, however, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Just head over to michellenezat.com/451. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.